Time now for Curbside with the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber.
Brought to you by Sleiman Brothers, your local appliance expert. Online at SleimanBros.com.
That's Alex Ferrario. He's Tanner Hendrickson. I'm Brandon Kiley. The Blues are back in action tomorrow night. Blues versus Avalanche. Pregame coverage on your home for the Blues 101 ESPN with Alex Ferrario begins tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And the Blues will be without Ryan O'Reilly. And it sounds like it's probable that they're going to be without Brandon Saad as well. Right now, we're talking it over with the voice of the Blues, Chris Kerber, joining us via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Kerbs, we appreciate the time as always, man. How big of a loss is this? I know in terms of the leadership and the on ice, but in terms of just the chemistry that they had already started to produce, how big of a loss is Ryan O'Reilly being out for likely the next 10 days?
Well, you got to like the momentum that this team has built, and you'll find some of the resiliency here. You know, we'll find out together because it's the first game that he's missed since he became a St. Louis Blue. And, you know, you're going to miss a lot on the faceoff without a shred of doubt. I mean, he's been over 60% in four of the first five games. You know, and you're missing that penalty killing and a guy that's been playing 20 minutes a night as on your top line as your top center. So without a shred of doubt, it's a loss, you know, but this is where they've got some depth, you know, to be able to overcome it. This is where a Tyler Bozak and his experience at center can move up the line. I think this is where the type of lines that the Blues can roll out can still create enough of an offensive threat. So I definitely don't think you can look at it and say it's not a loss. It's a big one that's out of the lineup for the next potential 10 days, you know. But having said that, they've got some depth to stay in there, so I don't expect things to be derailed all that much.
Yeah, Kerb, speaking of that depth, Dakota Joshua recalled, and we all know Craig Berube talked about how great of a camp Dakota Joshua had. It was just the numbers game to where he had to be sent down to the AHL. They did their line rushes earlier at practice, and they had Shen skating with Kostin and Perron, Bozak with Kyrou and Buchnevich, and then Joshua on that fourth line. I was a little surprised by that. Just give me your initial thoughts hearing Shen moving up with Kostin and Perron and Bozak with Kyrou and Buchnevich.
Well, I mean, that's the depth that they had. That's what we were just talking about. You know, your number two center behind Ryan O'Reilly is Braden Shen. So now you move him up into that top role with those expectations. Tyler Bozak with Kostin and Buchnevich, you know you're going to get the defensive-minded, you know, approach and a real responsible approach to his game. That's going to be really important. And Dakota Joshua slides right in where he has played very well in every game that he's played for the St. Louis Blues. So that's why, you know, it's like I said, it's a loss of a key player, but they've got the veteran depth to be able to slide guys into where they know they can be successful and still perform. And that's one of the differences between, to me, guys, the Blues and, say, another team that, you know, might have, like, you know, just might be top heavy with some high end talent. You know, the Colorado Avalanche, you lose Nathan MacKinnon for 10 days and you saw the impact of that, right? Because he's that critically important. But from a skill standpoint, they don't have the depth up and down the lineup. The Blues have the depth up and down the lineup that I think that they could spread that out a little bit and be able to withstand it longer than some of the other teams. And it's a move to me by moving Shen up and Bozak up is the move that makes absolute sense.
We're talking to Chris Kerber, the voice of the Blues here on 101 ESPN. Kerbs, one thing that I am going to be interested to find out about over the next three, four games, potentially without Ryan O'Reilly, is what this looks like for the defensive core, because I do think this probably puts a little bit more pressure on them. You're losing one of your best defenders. It puts a little more pressure on your penalty kill and the goaltenders as well. What have you seen thus far from the defense, and how do you think this is going to play out over the next few games without Ryan O'Reilly?
I think we've seen really good consistency from them, Brandon. I think you've noticed something that we've talked about all last year and through the first part of this year, the difference in how this group looks with a healthy Colton Parayko. And when he's able to play 25 minutes a game and manage the game he has, he clearly makes, you know, Marco Scandella better out there. And then that really allows the Blues to put even better matchups together for Krug and for Falk. You cannot talk about this defense, though, without really mentioning the solid job, you know, in the 12 to 15 minutes they're getting with Bortuzzo and Jake Walman. Those guys have been really good. And one of the reasons that you're starting 5-0 is you've had five straight games with the same defensive core. And I think that that's real important. That familiarity is important. As Marco Scandella told us, you know, every single player on this team in this defensive group wants the puck. They want to move the puck up the ice. And they really worked hard in camp on making sure that the forwards are dropping back, that the gaps between the defense and the forwards are not too stretched, and they remain tight. So the defense are key parts of the breakout plays to give the wingers opportunities to pass the puck if the wall play isn't there, things along those kind of lines. And it's working really, really well. So you're going to have to see that remain tight, but that would be whether or not Ryan is in the lineup or not. That I think that's a key to the system that the St. Louis Blues are playing. And if they can stay healthy back there, that's going to help you bridge the gap, because Tyler Bozak's a really good faceoff guy. All right, he can win 55% of his draws. And you're going to obviously see him take more and more of those draws with an increased role with Ryan out of the lineup. But you have to figure that the opposition is going to win some more faceoffs than normal with Ryan in it. And when that's the case, you've got to rely on your defensive play to help get that puck back.
Curbs, Joey said something, I believe it was after their fourth victory, the first home game of the season in postgame, where he said this team probably deserves more credit for how fast they are than what they're giving them. Are you seeing a different team in terms of the speed factor that the Blues present on a nightly basis?
Yeah, I think there's two things that play into that, Alex. So the first one is just they are a faster team. Jake Neighbors is a good skater. When Tarasenko skates, he's as strong a skater as there is on this team. Jake Wallman can move. A healthy Parayko can move. You know, and then, of course, you've got speed with Thomas. You've got some speed with and great speed with Jordan Kyrou. So I think naturally they are a faster team now than they were the last couple of years. The other thing that they're doing is the way they're moving the puck and the support that they're giving each other is it's as clean a puck movement game as I have seen in a while from this hockey team. And when you move the puck clean, when that first pass out of the zone is on the tape, and then the chip up the wall goes right to a guy, in two touches, you can make yourselves look really fast by guys playing just good positional hockey and really smart, accurate puck play. And so there's two things. You have natural speed of skating, but then the way you play can be fast if your puck skill and everything is on track and accurate, and that's what the Blues have done. So I think a combination of those two themes really make this team look like they are one of those fast skating type teams.
Curbs, what was different about Ville Husso in his first start of the year?
Didn't give up a goal on his first shot. That was good. He worked hard. I talked to Craig Berube about this in the morning. He's been working really hard. They like the way he looked in camp. He comes in, and you remember last year was his first year ever in the NHL. So every time he got into a game, it was a new experience for him in some way, shape, or form, and in a new building. It wasn't the first time ever he had played the Kings. It was now the third time. He's seen three games now where it's Brown and Kopitar shooting at him. And you get some confidence in those situations. So I thought the team played really well. I think it helped that it's against a team in the LA Kings that struggles offensively a bit. You know, but you've got to still win those games, and to get the shutout was just the icing on the cake for him. So I thought it was a terrific all-around game for him.
Curbs, final one from me. Between the power play and the penalty kill, both have been impressive in the first five games of the season, but which one has impressed you more?
I think it probably, for me, I look at the penalty kill. I think the power play righted itself in the second half of last season. The penalty kill never quite did. And then when you can add, and I know we've only seen them briefly because of the suspension and COVID, but you know that when the two people you add are the kind of players with the experience they have in Buchnevich and Saad, that's helped. And so when you've got probably four or five penalty killing pairs as forwards you could throw out there, you've got some depth. So it doesn't throw you off depending on who's in the penalty box, right? So to me, and they all talk about it being a new penalty kill. They want to be more aggressive, read more, put more pressure on there, and they've been playing it well. So I think the adjustments that they made have been really good, and the fact that they've been this successful shows that.
Chris Kerber is the voice of the Blues. You'll hear him tomorrow night on the call for Blues versus Avalanche. Pregame coverage with Alex Ferrario beginning tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Curbs, we always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the call tomorrow night. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have yourself an awesome day.